And if you can't find a missing plane in the ocean, you can, sadly, find lots and lots of microplastics. They come from toothpaste, cleansing creams, and other unlikely sources. And they kill. So it's not just packaging. Isabella Pittaway reports.
Have you checked the ingredients list on the back of your body wash, facial cleanser or toothpaste recently? If it features the words polyethylene or polypropylene, then like many cosmetic products, it contains microplastic. Groups such as Fauna and Flora International are concerned that companies have been putting these non-biodegradable plastics, often listed as microbeads, in products such as domestic cleaning agents, face wash, and even toothpaste. In cosmetic products, the microbeads exfoliate the skin. In toothpaste, they produce the streaks of colour. So why does this matter? Well, microplastic is too small to be sifted out at water treatment plants, so they flow down our sinks and end up in oceans and waterways. The microplastic then absorbs toxic chemicals which are ingested by marine life and travel up the food chain. In the long run, they threaten to destabilize oceanic ecosystems. Unlike plastic bags and bottles, these smaller microplastics are an invisible threat. Fauna and Flora International is working to highlight this issue and ensure that companies find replacements for these environmentally harmful substances. President of Fauna and Flora International is Princess Laurentien of the Netherlands.
Microplastics. They are so small. They are particles smaller than 5 millimeters. What they do is they get embedded everywhere, in the seabed, coastal lines, in plants, and they start attracting other plastics. So these tremendously huge gyres that are there in the oceans, 5 of them all around the world, some of them 2.5 times the size of Australia.
Plastics won't biodegrade, and so the shortest degradation time is in the region of 500 years, but it can extend into the thousands of years. That's why you might have seen people say that nearly every piece of plastic ever made still exists today. The ones that haven't been incinerated, they will still exist today because the degradation rate is so slow. That's obviously why they're so useful in so many different applications. They're so durable, but it is also the downfall of them as well.
Tanya Cox is Marine Plastics Project Officer at Fauna and Flora International. While she admits that it's hard to quantify just how much plastic is making its way into the marine environment, a study last year by the University of Western Australia and CSIRO has found that Australia's sea surfaces have high concentrations of microplastic compared to other regions.
Some people estimate that it's 100,000 tonnes of plastic floating on the surface of the ocean. A recent publication from Australia has just come out suggesting that there are in the region of 4,000 pieces of microplastic per square kilometre around the Australian coastline. It's a difficult thing to quantify, but about 10% of plastic waste will end up in the oceans. The danger is that once in the marine environment, the plastic itself can contain toxic chemicals. And when they're in the marine environment, the plastic pieces act as a sponge and they attract environmental toxins. As the marine life ingests the plastic particles, the plastic itself, it causes impact to the animals, but also that these toxins come away from the surface of the plastic and they get absorbed by the bodily tissues, are subject to something called bioaccumulation, which means that as these chemicals are embedded into the tissue of the animal, as that animal is eaten, the toxins get transferred to the bigger animal and they become more intense, and this continues up the food chain and it threatens to destabilize oceanic ecosystems. And there is an implication for human health, and a lot of scientists now are trying to understand how far does this contamination go and are there implications for human health as we're eating seafood that is becoming more and more contaminated.
So what's being done to tackle this issue, and how can we eliminate our microplastic pollution?
One of the projects we're working on is called the Good Scrub Guide, and this is really a reference tool for consumers to make informed choices about the products they're buying. These microplastics in personal care products are included in lots of different things, from facial exfoliators to shampoos, body washes, even domestic cleaning products as well contain them. So The idea behind the Good Scrub Guide was to provide an easy reference tool for consumers to choose products that don't contain microplastics. And we're starting with face scrubs because we felt it was an easy reference for people. They'd be familiar with that grainy feel of the abrasive on their face, so they could begin to understand that in over half of all the products available on the market, those tiny grains are bits of plastic. And people obviously might not be too pleased to hear that, so they can start looking at the Good Scrub Guide to see what products they can purchase that don't contain plastic. The other way you can check is by using a smartphone app that we've developed called Beat the Microbead, and you can scan a product's barcode and check. It will tell you whether the product contains plastics or not. It's something that we will be hoping to introduce to Australia later this year. At the moment, it's already active in other parts of the world, but not yet.
Do you think enough is being done to tackle microplastics and marine pollution?
It's quite a new area of science. Everybody for a very long time has understood the impact of bags and bottles and ropes and things like that. Microplastic pollution is something a bit newer in terms of understanding the impact of it, but increasingly there are more and more organisations around the world working to address this problem and to try and minimise sources and minimise the impact of plastic pollution.
What's your goal for the next 5 years?
In the next 5 years, we would love to be able to say that no more products available on the market contain these plastic microbeads or microplastic ingredients. And so we're working with different companies to try and encourage that change. And then there is the necessary time to phase out the ingredients from the products.
And how long do you think that could take?
Hopefully less than 5 years, but I think given the momentum that we're already seeing in industry, within 5 years we should be able to see a complete halt in the use of microplastic ingredients.
Some US states are already cracking down on microbeads and are considering bans on their use. US manufacturer Johnson & Johnson, which produces brands such as Clean & Clear and Neutrogena, have pledged to stop putting microbeads in their products, with a plan to eliminate their use by 2017. Other companies have also made similar promises.
Promises, promises. Isabella Pittaway there at the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. She's at the University of South Australia.